This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you on this Friday in the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe that we're winding up another week? You know, it's hard to believe. We still have Saturday, of course. But that being said, here we are on Friday. And you know what we do on Fridays right here on Women of Grace Live? It's Glory to God Day. We look back over all of the events of this past week, and we give acclamation to the Lord, right? We praise Him and thank Him for the ways in which He has blessed us through the course of the week. And I always encourage you, look back, see how He showed up in marvelous ways, you know, just stupendous ways, and ways where, you know, His approach was a little bit more subtle. And share with us about these beautiful moments in the Lord. It's very edifying. It lifts us up. I don't know what it does for you, but I'll tell you what, it makes me all happy inside. And this is what we do. This is what we do as the body of Christ. We are called to edify each other, and there's no greater way to edify each other than to talk about the blessings of the Lord. Now, we're a little challenged, as you well know, because we had some lightning here in Birmingham about a week and a half ago, and it took out some of our equipment. So we cannot receive your calls, but that doesn't mean that we cannot hear from you, because we can. And let me share with you the means that we have available for you. Two means where we can talk with you in real time right now would be by texting us. You can text your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And let me say, your glory to God moment, right? You can send that to us via text. And how do you do that? EWTN to 58177. So text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, and then put in your question or your comment, your glory to God moment, and tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We can get it retrieved, and there's a way for me to receive that information. So we've got some good workarounds in place, and I do want to hear from you. In addition to texting, you can use our social media opportunity. It's out there for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, your glory to God moment. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board, and I'll be able to share your good news with everybody. Isn't that a lovely thing? Isn't it good? I mean, you know, here we are, and we talk about the good news. What is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, of course, it is His coming, right? It's the fullness of time that brought Him to us by way of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Lady and the movement of grace that came by way of the Holy Spirit at the moment of the Annunciation. So that is it, right? But then good news also implies everything that our Lord has done for us and by way of what He's been doing since His coming. And we read all about that in sacred scripture. So here we are. And, you know, the good news hasn't ended. You know, the good news didn't end with the passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. The good news continues. The good news continues, and it continues in your life, and it continues in my life. And isn't it beautiful when we can come together and we can share that great reality, that great, great, great reality of the good news that comes to us by way of the blessings of the Lord. So I'm encouraging you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. I'm also encouraging you to text us, text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, put in your glory to God moment, and we will retrieve it, and we will address it right here on Women of Grace Live today. Well, I always also like to send you out to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of good things, as I tell you, always happening at Women of Grace. We're very active apostolate. Yes, we are. You know, it's one of the ways, I think, in which we reflect the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is not necessarily thinking about acting. The Holy Spirit, you know, triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, of whom the Holy Spirit is a person, right? What do we find? Pure act. That's what Thomas Aquinas tells us, pure act. So I think that one of the ways in which Women of Grace kind of emulates that is we're always acting, we're always doing something. And we've got some stuff coming up for you this fall that I am really excited about, and I want to really encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities. Our Benedicta Institute for Women Our fall 2025 online course is The Dignity of Dust, Contemplating Our Humanity. It begins August 25th and ends September 28th. It's not too late to sign up. I mean, this is via, an online setting. So therefore, we can accommodate many of you. So we want to invite you to join us. It is great for spiritual enrichment, but also this course obviously counts towards a certification in Catholic women's leadership. So we want you to check it out. Now, you might be saying, with the dignity of dust, contemplating our humanity. I mean, what about that? Well, let me just read to you the fall online course, this course description. And this is what it's about. It says, according to the timeless ancient axiom, a Jere Sequitur essay, which translates doing follows being, in order to know how to act, we first must know who we are. Right? Doing follows being, okay? So who are we? This course asks the question, who is the human being? St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross and Carol Hauslander are two prominent 20th century Catholic women who offer sustained reflection on this vital question. By exploring their enlightening lives and writings, students will encounter the truth, goodness, and beauty of the meaning of being human. Participants will read required texts, of course, view weekly instructional videos, respond to weekly posts based on readings, and attend Zoom sessions each Thursday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to discuss insights gained through the readings and have their questions answered. I'll tell you, I've been in this course. It is fantastic. It is just one of those courses where you don't forget what has been imparted to you, something that very often applies to your life, but is very useful in conducting your life. So I want to encourage you to sign up for this beautiful opportunity. It is in the theme, God and the Human Person, which is one of the four core themes in our Catholic Women's Leadership Program. And Dr. Donald Wallenfang is our instructor. Again, the date's August 25th to September 28th. You know, we have an obligation. We really do. We have a holy obligation to constantly be involving ourselves in the things of the faith. You know, there never comes a time when we say, well, I know everything there is to know about the faith. I mean, that is really hubris to the max, right? I mean, that is so arrogant. There's no way that we could ever, ever acquire everything that there is to know. But we want to dip our toes into this wellspring of inspiration and theological exploration that is ours. And you might say, yeah, but that's really heady stuff. Well, I got to tell you, not when you have a professor who is absolutely equipped to take complicated topics and break them down for us. I sat there and I was amazed at how welcoming the information was. And I walked away really edified and enlightened by this course. And I want to encourage you to consider joining us for it. August, as I say, August, when is it starting again? August the 25th through September the 28th. In addition to that, we've got all kinds of other things that are starting up. I'll tell you a little bit more about them when we come back together again. But this is a Glory to God day, and I'm giving glory to God for each one of you. Yes, I am indeed. We want to hear your glory to God moment from this past week. You can get it to us by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. And you can also leave your glory to God moment for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page in the chat feature. Do know that if you choose the texting option, that data rates and message rates may apply. More on the other side of the break. I've got some emails here. I've got some calls on our listener comment line. We're going to be digging into all of this good stuff together today. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Everybody, you are listening to Women of Grace Live on this Glory to God Friday. This is the day that we thank God for all of the beautiful ways in which He's blessed us through the course of this past week. We always do invite you to call in with your blessings, except not now. because we're still working on that equipment. Hopefully, I mean, there's an outside chance we'll be with you again next week on the phone lines, but that doesn't mean you can't get in touch with us. Oh, heavens to Betsy, no. You can get in touch with us. How do you do that? Well, one way is by texting. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your glory to God moment or your question or comment. We'll take those too, and we'll get them retrieved. Pedro Quiles is doing the retrieving today, and he's also collecting the questions that you leave for us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just use the chat feature there, and we'll get your glory to God moment and any question or comment that you might have collected as well. If you choose to text, do know that data and message rates may apply, and in both cases, we want to know who you are, where you are, and how it is that you are listening to us. That's all very important information for us. So I mentioned to you, we've got Pedro Quiles. He is out there in social media land. We've got Ace McKay in today for Vanessa Sanchez. Vanessa's birthday is coming up, and I have it on good authority that this is a cluster of birthdays in her family. So she has gone back to Miami to celebrate birthdays, and we're happy for her. So happy birthday to you, Vanessa and Ace. Thanks for pinch hitting for us. We really do appreciate that. I do want to let you know that it's very important for us to consume news in an appropriate way. Depending upon which news channels you listen to, you're going to get some kind of a biased report, depending upon what the proclivity is of that particular, that particular media outlet. But I can tell you one thing. If you tune in to Catholic News Agency, our online service from EWTN, you are going to get comprehensive coverage of the church's mission and activities, and you're also going to have an opportunity to dive into social, political, moral, and cultural issues, always from a Catholic perspective. And that's what we want you to do. You know, we want you to look at everything that's happening in the world through the lens of your Catholic faith. It's very important that you do that, because the fact of the matter is, you know, we are created in the image and likeness of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We are members of the church that He founded. And so we want to look through that lens when we evaluate the situations and circumstances in our own life, but certainly as we evaluate that which is going on in the public square. And we want to land on the side of faith, and the Catholic News Agency will help you to do that. So we certainly do want for you to take advantage of that opportunity. How can you do that? Well, if you want to get the news updates right away when they happen, you can subscribe by visiting EWTN.com and clicking subscribe. And I get them every day, and it's very helpful. So I encourage you to do the same. All of that available for you out there at EWTN.com. In the meantime, I'm encouraging you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. I was telling you about the Benedicta Institute for Women Fall online course, The Dignity of Dust, Contemplating Our Humanity, available August 25th through September the 28th. But we've also got other events coming up for you sooner than that, and we want you to participate in those. We have an online Morning of Grace happening on August the 12th. We have got a quick start training for women who are interested in becoming facilitators for our Young Women of Grace program. We have an Evening of Grace coming up on August the 14th, and we've got an online quick start training for new or aspiring Women of Grace facilitators for the adults. All of that available for you, and just check it all out underneath the events section at our website. And again, that is womenofgrace.com, Women of Grace, all one word, .com. Check out everything that's available for you. Well, I know, Ace, that we've got some calls that were left for us. So let's, while everybody is getting out there, figuring up, what was the very loveliest blessing I want to share with everybody, and getting it out there in the ways that we mentioned to you, either by texting or going to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Let's see what one of these questions is for us today.
My husband is being sole caregiver to my disabled son and also me. And I would like to know, how do I stay holy if I can't make it, or my son can't make it, to Holy Mass? My husband is a extraordinary minister, so we receive communion, we watch the Mass, and we definitely want to grow stronger in our faith.
Oh, thank you for this beautiful question. I mean, this is truly, truly a beautiful question. And even in your tone of voice, I can hear your desire to attend Mass and to be present for that miraculous moment when bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that sometimes there are difficulties in life that prevent us from going. We don't look for excuses, but when a legitimate difficulty due to illness or incapacity or, some other substantive matter keeps us away, we hunger. We hunger for that close union. And that's what I hear in your voice, this hungering. So two things that I want to share with you. The Lord knows your situation and your circumstance, and the Lord also sees your desire. And there is lots of beautiful, I think, encouragement that comes to us from the saints as well as from, spiritual masters in theology that tell us that, when we have this deep desire in our heart and we unite ourselves to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, even if we cannot be there, and uniting ourselves through this desire, but also through this conscious movement forward interiorly to spiritually be present to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, God sees that and He rewards that. And He also sees that and rewards that with our hunger for the Eucharist. Now, aren't you blessed? See how the Lord provides for you. Your husband is an extraordinary minister. You can receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ because of his position within the church, because of that avocation that is his. What a beautiful thing. So when you, unite yourself with our Lord through reception of him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, then what a beautiful, beautiful opportunity that is. So God is making a way for you in the midst of this, right? There's this passage, and I think that it's in Corinthians, and I'm never sure if it's 1 or 2. I get, when it comes to 1 and 2 Corinthians, I sometimes transpose those. But it's in there, and I think it's in chapter 10. And it says that, no test has come to you that hasn't been given to every man. But in the midst of the test, God will give you a way out so that you will not be crushed by it. Isn't that beautiful? So here is a test for you, right? This desire cannot be fulfilled by attending Mass, but it's a test. It's a test for your faith, knowing that God is there for you. And the way out that He's giving you, I think, is this beautiful opportunity of desire to be united, which He sees and fulfills, and also in a very special way for you, in a particular way, that you can nonetheless receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what can supplement this desire? Well, we are blessed that technology comes to our aid. And oftentimes we can watch a Mass either online or on television that is happening in real time. Of course, we know that EWTN televises its Mass 3 times a day, every day, Sunday through, Saturday. The Mass is presented to you. It's available for you at 7 a.m. Eastern time. It repeats at 12 noon and then again at 6. So you have ample opportunity to join yourself to the Mass. Now, I want to say this. Only the 7 a.m. Mass is in real time. The other two are a repeat of that morning Mass, right? So, but there are other opportunities also available online for you whereby you can attend that way. It doesn't substitute, and I want to make this very clear to all of you listening, oh, well, then I can just watch the Mass on television. I don't have to go, no. The obligation is the obligation, unless there is an extreme reason why you cannot fulfill that obligation. And of course, our dear caller has that. So how can you continue to grow in your faith? Well, by this desire that is in you, and by augmenting that, by participating in the Mass, even though you are not there. Now, the other thing is this. This is interesting, and I love it. Our soul is a supernatural reality, right? And, though we are bound by time in terms of our body. You know, our soul, in a very real way, is not bound by time. And so we can spiritually be present to a mass. And we can just open ourselves up to the fact that at every moment of every day, there is a mass being celebrated somewhere in the world. That's a fact. At every moment of every day, every second of every day, the host is being elevated and the wine is being elevated and the words of consecration. What happens? Body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can make a conscious effort to open ourselves up to that reality spiritually. And this is the way in which this desire is fulfilled. We can open ourselves up spiritually to be united to that moment, which is outside of time and space. It's happening in time and space, but it's not bound by time and space. We're entering into, through the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the actual sacrifice on Calvary that is perpetuated through the Mass, that we might all receive the benefit at every moment of every day. So just the knowledge of that, I hope, brings you some comfort. And I want to encourage all of you, and I mean, this is the idea behind a spiritual communion as well, that we can't receive spiritually, but somewhere in the world, probably many, many, many multiple places in the world, at any given moment in time, the Eucharist is being distributed, and we can present ourselves and spiritually receive. You know, this is just beyond our capacity to really comprehend through a reasoning power, but it is true. And there is an efficacy to that when we're uniting our desire and our love for God and our love for Jesus Christ, of course, to that moment. So I offer you that. So do not despair. And so many times through the course of the day, you can have a glory to God moment. Isn't that beautiful? I just think it's lovely. I'm so happy about that. Well, thank you, Ace, for that beautiful call. Is there another one for us?
And my question is, can you use the holy water that's provided at the back of the church to bless your own home along with the holy chalk? Thank you.
Well, that's a lovely question. I'm glad that you want to bless your home. I often recommend that we clean our home. And how do we clean our home? Holy water and blessed salt. We want to clean it out of anything that is not of God that might somehow have gained entrance into our home through what we watched on television, where we were on the internet, who walked in, who walked out. So we want to, on a routine basis, be blessing our home. And of course, you can use the holy water at the back of the church for this purpose. It's holy water. So, you know, where you get it from, you know, how that's procured is not the issue. So you can bring some of your own water. You can bring a jug of water, you know, and ask Father to bless that water, and you'll have a good supply there. But obviously, you can use the water that is blessed in the back of the church. So yes, and you know, obviously, how you orchestrate this blessing of your home, you know, I don't know. There's different ways that you can do it. You know, I have gone through the house with holy water and blessed salt, praying the St. Michael prayer and doing it. You know, you can go through with a crucifix, you know, and just call upon the power of the Lord to be there. It's always good, I think, to have a sacramentals in your home. You know, hopefully that crucifix is blessed. So yes, of course you can do that. There's no problem whatsoever in doing that. And that's a lovely thing to do. So I do want to encourage all of you to participate in, you know, this great benefit of the church that comes by way of holy water and blessed salt. Very, very important. I don't think that we realize, you know, that there is something about the environment of a home. When our home is prayed up, and by that I mean we pray in our home, right? When we have sacramentals in our home, when we are routinely blessing our home, when these things are happening in our home, it changes the entire atmosphere of the home. Why? Well, because the atmosphere then, you know, is being inhabited by the things of God, by the blessings of God, by angels, you know? So it's a lovely thing. And it's a felt reality. It's a felt reality. I know I've shared with you a number of times when I've had workmen coming into the house or, you know, something like that, you know, where they've said, gee, it's just so peaceful in here. Well, I know why it's peaceful in there, in the house. I know why it's peaceful. It's peaceful because it's a house where prayer is. It's a house where sacramentals are. It's a house where blessing is. So this is a very real thing. And, you know, also, you know, especially if you're going through difficulties and trials, you want to make sure that house is blessed, because the evil one, he'll use any opportunity to get in there and confound things. And we, you know, the last thing that we need is to have things, you know, influenced by his miserable and horrible activities, you know, in our home. So I really am pleased for the fact that you want to bless your home. That's a very, very beautiful thing. Okay, so I've got a lot of questions here that also have come in through social media. And here's one. It says, today, which was 8:25, at around 25 minutes, I guess, into the show, you concluded your answer on infant baptism that was very well spoken, lucid, and illustrative. And now here's a question, and here's the background. I experienced teen baptism at Dawson. It was on a Sunday night. The entire church was packed and dark. There were two spotlights on the closed curtain of the baptismal, located high above the choir. As the curtains drew open, I was already robed and standing in the warm water, feet under the foot bar, with the pastor whispering instructions. The curtains opened and it felt like my Carnegie Hall debut. I will never forget it. Here's the question premise. I was present for Catholic baptisms at Cathedral of St. The Cathedral, and many years earlier at Cathedral that was an Anglican cathedral, then now converted to Roman, where the rite was part of the Sunday High Mass. After baptism, the infant was processed by the priest up and down the aisle with an admonition to the faithful to take care of it. Glory. And the question continues, but you hear that music. So we're going to have to leave it there until we get back. And we will get into this question. And we will, you know, try to answer it for Mr. Sutton, who is in New Mexico. I think that's Mr. Sutton, or maybe it's not. Well, I'll figure that one out when we go to this break and we come right back. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. It is a Glory to God Friday. Send us your Glory to God moment via text message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Do know that message and data rates may apply. Coming back, stay with us.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. As you know, we're still working on that equipment to get these lines back up so we can receive your phone calls. But you can send us your questions. There's two ways that you can do that in real time. One way is by getting out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and using the chat feature there. You can leave it for us and Pedro Quiles will get it, and we do have a way of receiving it. So that would be one way. The other way is to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment, your Glory to God moment, and let us know all about it, right? Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening to us, and do know that message and data rates may apply if you decide to text us. So I've got some emails here that we're answering, and it gives us a really good opportunity to dip into those emails that have been left for us. And this one is, I don't think that it is from Kay Sutton. I don't know who this is. I don't have a name on it. But this was someone who was talking about experiencing baptism as a teenager. And it was not just based on the situation as it's described. I'm assuming that this is in a Protestant church. And it was a very special moment for this individual. And he was quite impressive. And he talks about being at the Catholic baptisms of other individuals at two different churches, one of which was Catholic, the other which was a traditional Anglican church then, but now it's become a Roman Catholic church, where it says the rite was part of the Sunday Mass, and that after the baptism, the infant was processed by the priest up and down the aisle with an admonition to the faithful to take care of it. And then he says, glory. And his question, with so few baptisms occurring, why do most parishes make baptism a private family rite? Tell me, what faithful Catholic would not want to celebrate this uplifting rite collectively? Well, you know, that is, and then he said, great show. Well, thank you for that. So let me just say this. You know, it's an interesting, it's very interesting, isn't it? And, you know, it's always lovely, I think, when a baptism is included as part of the Sunday Mass for the very reason that you point out. We are indeed welcoming, you know, a new little soul, a new little person into our Catholic faith, right? And we're witnessing, you know, a miraculous event. And the miraculous event is that original sin is expunged from the soul of this baby. And I think that that is beautiful. And when we can witness that in a certain way, it also helps for us to renew our baptismal vows. We can renew those. Baptism we receive once. So if the baptism that you received in the Protestant church follows the formula for Christian baptism, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If it follows the formula, that baptism is a valid baptism and the church recognizes it. Now, if it doesn't follow the formula, then of course, the church does not recognize it, and then the actual sacrament of baptism can be received because that was not an actual sacrament that happened, you know, because the formula wasn't followed. So depending upon how that formula was used and what that, you know, what the words were that were spoken, that makes the difference there. But I agree. I think it's lovely when we witness these baptisms. However, it is also very common that it is a private affair. And you know, some families prefer that. And I think that for the most part, the church also, offers that opportunity because very frequently, you know, the other parishioners who might be there for Sunday Mass are there just for the Mass, right? And not to witness this great moment. Now I have seen when the baptism is private, generally speaking, it will take place right after the Mass, that sometimes there's more than one baby. And so there is more of a communal setting for that moment. But, you know, I don't think that either way that it's celebrated, it is fine. You know, we just want that baby baptized. I like the uplifting idea, and I'm not really sure that that's a rite. I think that that is something that a priest does. And what they're doing there, you know, is they're holding this they're holding this little saint up for all of us to see. And that's what it is, right? I always look at a little baby after it's newly baptized and I'm saying, I'm holding a saint in my hands right now. In my little arms is cradled this little saint. And that's the truth, because there's no sin in that baby. No sin. And of course, you know, the fact of the matter is, when an adult receives baptism, every sin that they've ever committed in their lives is expunged, you know, and to the extent that they remain that way, you know, they're filled with holiness. What a beautiful thing, huh? You know, really and truly to contemplate. So, you know, this beautiful thing of holding the baby up is very, very nice. And you know, he's when he says, take care of the baby, I'm assuming that that's what he means. You know, that's important because it reminds us that everybody in the community is responsible to some extent for the shepherding of that little soul. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, by word and by example, right? So we want to give a good witness to this new little member of the church. Right? So it is true. We all play a part in the shepherding of the souls that are entrusted to us, even if they're just passing by us for a very brief moment. There is something that we are to be witnessing through our actions, through our words that we speak, through the demeanor by which we carry ourselves, you know, through the smile on our face. You know, just a word of affirmation, you know, that comes, you know, seeing somebody, you know, when you're, passing someone in a supermarket or you're in the checkout line, just saying something nice to the cashier, you know, expressing your gratitude for their efforts in helping you to get your groceries purchased. You know, these are lovely things. These are ways in which we share the love of Christ that we have. So I thank you for that question. I really liked it. And thank you for listening to the show. And I'm glad that you find it to be of benefit to you. That makes me so, so happy. Okay, now I think this is Keith in New Mexico. And Keith in New Mexico says, "Hi, Johnette, please pray for me for a miracle, healing mind and body, free of all oppressions. Thank you so much." Oh, Keith, I'm saying Keith because I know a Keith Sutton, happens to be my cousin. I don't know what Kay Sutton's name is. As a matter of fact, just a little aside, Keith is a twin and his twin is Kirk. So there you have it. Anyway, Kay Sutton in New Mexico, you know, let's talk about this for a moment. The Lord wants us set free. He tells us that, and he demonstrates that over and over again in sacred scripture, and it's enunciated in the epistles that are given to us by the writings of the apostles, right? And so we look at St. Paul. I believe it's Paul. It might not be. It says, when the Lord frees you, you are freed indeed. When the Spirit of the Lord frees you, you are free indeed. Right? Jesus tells us, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," right? Where we read in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, you know, we read, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So it's a beautiful thing that we have this opportunity to enter into healing, that we have this opportunity to walk in hope, that we have this opportunity to experience new life. And that's what you're asking for. And, you know, when you use the word oppressions, this is one of the times when I wish that I could talk with you. When you use the word oppressions, you know, I would like to have a further and a deeper understanding of what oppressions are, which oppressions you're talking about, how they're expressing themselves, these oppressions in your life, and what you mean by that. You know, I want you to know this. The evil one, will take advantage of every opportunity to try to cripple us in our relationship with God. And he will incite thoughts into our mind. He will set up circumstances to derail us. He will use those areas of weakness that we have, those proclivities, our imperfections. He will use those to lead us into sin. He will also play upon the wounds of our heart. He'll play upon those. Now, he cannot read your thoughts, but he knows where you're weak. He's a great observer. And he knows where he can press. And he knows what is going to send you into a tailspin. And that is you know, a type of demonic oppression. It truly is. But we're not without resources. And this is what I want you to know. We're not without resources. And the resources that we have involve the sacraments. One, the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, the sacrament of reconciliation is a healing sacrament. It heals us when we're in sin by taking away the sin, right? We confess the sin and we're freed from the sin. And we experience that welling up of joy in our hearts that we experience when we walk out of that confessional. We have received absolution. The priest being in persona Christi. I believe that we talked about that on Wednesday with Sue Brinkman. In addition to that, the sacrament of reconciliation is also a healing sacrament for those wounds in our heart, for those ways in which we have been weakened by way of choices that we've made or the actions of others against us. And we can go to confession and talk with the priest about that. You know, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned," you know, and then we confess our sins. But then we say, "Father, you know, I also have a wound to the heart." I don't know. It could be a father wound. It could be a mother wound. It could be a wound that we inflicted upon ourselves. You know, so many women who have unfortunately experienced the tragedy of abortion, or, you know, individuals who have been complicit in that, these wounds of the heart that come by way of behaviors that are in opposition to the Lord, you know? And I'm suffering with this wound, and I'm just asking for the healing graces of this sacrament to enter into that wound, that I might find that freedom and that hope in Jesus Christ. That is perfectly licit. That is perfectly beautiful. And those healing graces come. Now, the healing graces come. The blessings of the Lord are always there for us. But then we have a part to play in this business. And the part that we have to play is that we've got to cooperate with those graces. The graces are there, but we've got to lay hold of those graces and move in them. And we've got to move in them by acting the opposite way in which the oppression would have us go. Now, what do I mean by that? Oftentimes, and I'm going to pray for you too, Kay Sutton. I'm going to pray. But oftentimes what happens is we become a player in the evil one's ploy. We become a player in the evil one's ploy. I'm working on a study right now, and I was just at the tail end of working on this one essay in there that I'm including on negative self-talk. And I'll use this as an example because this is my example. And in this little piece that I'm working on, you know, I share the fact that one day, you know, I was having a bad day. Everything was going wrong. I was having all kinds of trouble. I was pushing a deadline and I was messing up on my printer. And the printer was just not operative and I couldn't make it work. And I started to say out loud, "You are so stupid. You can never do anything mechanical. You are so inept. You are really dumb when it comes to this stuff. You know, any 6-year-old could do this, but you can't do it." And I heard a voice way down deep in the center of my being say, "Stop talking to my daughter that way." And I realized instantly, whose voice that was and what was being said and to whom. And that voice, notice it said, "Stop talking to my daughter that way." The voice wasn't talking to me. What I realized was that this was the voice of the Lord, and the voice of the Lord was rebuking the demon that was assailing me in that moment. And I realized one thing more. I was letting that spirit use my mouth to curse me, and I was complicit. I was complicit. And then I realized, you know, hey, wait a second. This negative self-talk has been around a long, long time, and it's an oppressing spirit. Right? It robs us of self-confidence. It robs us of self-esteem. It robs us of an accurate appraisal of who we are. It can lead to depression. It can lead to anxiety. It can lead to relationship problems. It can lead to us underperforming, not rising up to the gifts and talents that are ours, or even employing them, right? It becomes a recriminating spirit, right? That is always with us. And, you know, in this article, I get into more detail on this. I talk about the fact that, you know, we are a body soul composite, that is what we are. We're composed of a body and a soul. That's what the human person is. And so our thoughts actually, have an impact. When we think in a certain way, there are neurotransmitters that are emitted in the brain, and they begin to carve neural pathways in our brain. And these neural pathways are like ruts in a road that lead a car in a certain direction. You know what I'm talking about. You're on a dirt road. There's ruts in the road. Your tires find those ruts and it goes in that direction. And that's what happens with our thought processes. These neural pathways are set up and our thoughts naturally go that way. But we're not without opportunity. We're not without benefit. And actually it's St. Paul that gives us a solution to this. And he gives us a solution to this. He gives us the solution in Philippians in chapter 4. And this is what he says. And this is from, I think it's verse 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here, listen to this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen me do, do. And the peace of God will be with you. So here, you know, we find the way to live out something else that St. Paul tells us when he writes his letter to the Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, here's something lovely. This business about the brain and the neural pathways, our mind and our brain, neither one of them is static. It can change. And so when Paul talks about the renewal of the mind can be renewed. And then in Philippians, he tells us how to renew it. So whenever, you know, these oppressive thoughts come, whenever there is that sense of being under it, what do? We do what Paul says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you and I love you because you tell me that you are always with me, that you are at hand. You tell me I have no need to be anxious about anything. You tell me that when I lift my heart and my mind to you, that you are there with me. I am praying to you right now. I'm making supplication. I'm asking for your help in this moment. I'm asking. Father God, I'm going to think about everything that is pure and everything that is lovely. I'm going to think about that which is good in me. I'm going to think about the fact that I'm not really inept, that I have many gifts and talents. I'm going to thank you for the great gift of knowing that even this moment has been orchestrated by you, that I can come to this fuller understanding and I can see that you are a gracious God. I give praise to you. I thank you, Lord. And what begins to happen then? Is that we begin to reverse the action. We begin to create a new neural pathway. Do you see? So it's just amazing to me when we look at the realities of who the human person is and how it is that Scripture does so much for us. It helps for us to understand. So I want to ask you, Kay Sutton, to begin to employ this. Sometimes we just wallow in the sense of being a victim, but we're not victims. No, we might have experienced a moment where we were victimized, but we don't have to live in a victim mentality. No, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And so when we begin to express that truth and that reality, then when we begin to give acclamation to the Lord for all of the wonders that he's worked in our lives, when we begin to think about these things that St. Paul recommends, the mind is renewed. And we are not conformed to this age. And of course, the age I'm talking about, you know, in this moment is our age. We're not conformed to that which has made up our life. We are not encumbered by it. We begin to break free, not through our efforts, but by the grace of God that's available to us, by the grace that's always in his word. When we give acclamation to his word, when we proclaim his word, we are releasing the power of God into our lives. We have to know that. We have to experience that and realize it and move in it. So how do we do this? Well, you know, we can pick this passage apart. He tells us, but by prayer and supplication. So we ask God for the help. Oh, Father God, right now I'm feeling really oppressed. I need your help. Lord, make haste to help me. Then we proclaim. Proclamation, supplication, proclamation. What do we proclaim? We proclaim the truth. I am created in the image and likeness of God. I am worthy. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He chose me to have life. I am beautiful in his sight. The Lord is here for me. There's no need for me to be anxious, right? You work all things to the good for those who are called according to your purposes, Lord. We proclaim truth. We speak truth to the darkness. And then what do? We receive, right? So there's that attitude of receptivity of heart, reception. We receive the grace. I know that you are filling me with grace, and now we participate in it. We participate in it. I embrace this grace. I welcome this grace into my being, Lord. I welcome you into my being, Lord. And then we give acclamation. What is that? I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I acclaim you, Lord. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. You are the Holy One of Israel. And what happens? What happens in the midst of all of that? We begin to see. We begin to understand. We begin to know. And so I ask, Father God, that Kay Sutton right this very moment takes these words to heart, and whatever is oppressing her, that she is no longer, or he is no longer subject to it, Lord God. But by the working of your Holy Spirit, there is freedom. I ask, Lord God, that a whole new operation of the Spirit would begin in your son or daughter. I ask, Lord God, that this new operation would lead them to the wholeness of life. This new work of the Spirit would release them completely and totally and fully. Father God, I praise you and thank you for the work that you are doing right now. And we offer you this prayer in the name of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. And P.S., Lord, all of these blessings you pour out upon everyone who is with us right now. Oh, dear friends, God bless you now. Bye-bye.